Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 11, verses 1 through 11 this morning. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. This is probably will be the last sermon that we'll have with a sequential verses in sequence together, because from going forward, there's going to be it's going to be more thematic in the way we approach Proverbs because of how Proverbs is written going forward, to be sure. Proverbs 11, 1 through 11. God's wisdom, His word, is as clear as it is practical. Now, I know that is a premise that many would question, because we like to believe that it is unclear, that it's hard to understand. But what we have is a word that's written to mostly people that didn't have any education, mostly people who couldn't read. So this was read to them. And it was not meant to be complicated, because the Lord knows there's enough complication in our life. The last thing we need complicating is His word. So Solomon and God are wanting to make sure, so they keep it clear and practical. They're wanting to make sure that their children stay on course, stay on mission. Because there's so many distractions, so many lies dressed up with tempting beauty, that it's so easy for any of us, even His own children, to stray. But these simple words of Proverbs keep spurring us on, keep dragging us back so that we stay on course, because to do otherwise, life turns disastrous. Remember what Solomon said last time, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectations of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless, but destruction to the evil doers. God, through Solomon, holds nothing back for us. We live in a day and age where we are told that there are multiple ways to heaven. There's multiple ways to experience life. There's multiple ways, multiple identities to be fulfilled. But the Bible, over and over and over and over, one more time, over, tells us there's only two ways. Two ways. The way of the wise, that is those who fear the Lord, and the way of the fool, the ones who despise wisdom and instruction. In fact, they twist God's word to their own destruction. So either we're pursuing wisdom, pursuing the fear of the Lord, pursuing that, moving away from foolishness, or we're moving towards foolishness and away from wisdom, towards the false promises of sin, willingly putting others and other things above God, which will only bring sadness, sickness, and ultimately death in our sins. So trying not to sound like a broken record here, it's important that we recognize that Solomon, that is God, is speaking through Solomon to his righteous, to us. He wants to make it abundantly clear how wise and how important it is for us to stay on course. It doesn't take much to get off. So he keeps reminding us of the simple truths, the practical truths of Scripture. How a righteous life is the product of God's wisdom. So read with me, Proverbs 11, 1 through 11. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lust. When the wicked dies, his hope will perish, and the expectation of wealth perishes too. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked walks into it instead. With his mouth, the godless man will destroy his neighbor. But by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. But by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for how simple and how practical this word is. For we need it that way all too often, given that we confuse your word to meet our situations. Bless us with this word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I've gone through 11 and a half chapters at this point, and I hope that you continue to see this truth. God loves us. He's given us his righteousness that we can continue to glorify him. But he's made it abundantly clear that he is more than offended by the wicked, the foolish, the greedy, the crooked, the prideful, the godless, he says. And they will all get their justice, either in the end or before. But Solomon and God are focused not just on the negative, as I've said many times. There's a lot of negative here. But their focus is to let his children know that God's wisdom is in his righteousness. We see that in these passages, verses 1 through 11. But we also see that his righteousness is his product of his wisdom in verses 1 through 11. Yeah, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 11 a lot. So first, let's consider God's wisdom in his righteousness, verses 1 through 11. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lust. When the wicked dies, his hope will perish, and the expectation of wealth perishes too. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked walks into it instead. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor. But by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. But by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. Now, it may sound like when I broke this up into two pieces that I was talking out both sides of my mouth, but one of the things that Scripture constantly reminds us of, and Proverbs especially, is that righteousness and wisdom are interlinked. They go together. Of course, righteousness is at the heart of everything that God is and everything that God does. It is his righteousness that sets the bar high concerning how we are to love one another, how we're to relate to one another. It is his wisdom that enables us to carry out the standard, which is extremely high. Because of his righteousness, God's wisdom helps us to know that he hates things like a false balance. It's not just a hatred, however. It goes beyond hatred. It's an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. All through the Old Testament, we see God commanding how his people were to act in community and how he judged people that used people in any way, shape, or form incorrectly. He was clear how we are to treat brothers and sisters, Jews, as far as the Jews were concerned, which makes him extremely clear in the New Testament how brothers and sisters in believers are to treat one another, but also how we treat the sojourn among us, the Gentile, the unbeliever. These are image bearers of God, and the command is to love your neighbor as yourself. Again, love is the key. So seeking to cheat somebody, seeking to bear false witness against someone, seeking to judge someone unjustly, seeking to insist upon your own way, being resentful or harboring resentment. And he's spoken to each of these so far in the first 11 chapters of Proverbs. If that's what we're doing, we fall lockstep with the fool and those who will be judged. Mistreating someone is just as bad as cheating them, is the point in God's eyes. His wisdom informs us of his righteousness, his absolutes. When God says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom, he means it. But of course, we all recognize another verse similar to that, don't we? Proverbs 16. Though we don't quote it correctly. Pride comes before destruction. Haughtiness before a fall. God's righteousness hates pride. He hates haughtiness, that is, thinking of ourselves too highly, much more highly than we ought. God loves humility. James tells us God opposes the proud. Does anyone in here want to be opposed by God? I mean, if you've got a good and healthy image of God, I certainly hope you didn't say it doesn't matter. But he goes on to say, gives grace to the humble. You see, pride closes the door on spiritual growth. Pride refuses to listen to anything or anyone but their own opinion. Pride, by necessity, brings destruction because of the treachery of having one's own way. So naturally, pride causes a fall. God is righteous in what he says, and what he says alone is correct. God's wisdom informs his wise. His wise, as we care for one another, as we stand together with his integrity. And of course, this term integrity, taken in context, talks specifically about how we deal with one another. Again, it's about relationship. It's about how we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and how we love our neighbor as ourselves. We keep forgetting that. That's always got to be the caveat when we're seeing God commanding us to do something. It's based in his love and the love we're to share as Christ loved us. God's wisdom is his righteousness, and it guides us and directs his people. Since he is the way, the only way that secures salvation for his own. One of his divine attributes, righteousness, goes right along with his main attribute, holiness. Righteousness means he's always right and true on one level. Righteousness is that it's always good. So when God says when the wicked dies, his hope will perish. The expectation of wealth perishes too. Again, we know he's telling the truth. He is righteous in his judgment of the one who puts everything upon themselves in their own abilities and their own wealth. If that's all you have, you will end up being an extremely poor person, and you'll often die alone. God's righteousness saves his people by declaring us righteous because and only because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for his own, for his elect. But he goes on to say the righteous are delivered from trouble. In other words, on that day of our transition into Christ's presence, as we saw in Revelation, all trouble will cease. No more tears. No more worry. No more struggle. God's wisdom informs us that we are delivered now and yet to be delivered. It's God's righteousness. It's his righteous decrees that keep us looking and moving forward to discern the good and the bad. He says, with his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered. With his mouth, the godless seeks to destroy his neighbor, seeks to tear his neighbor down. Now, what's the commandment? Pardon me? What's the commandment? What's the commandment? Louder. Love your neighbor as yourself. What is the godless doing? He seeks to destroy his neighbor. Anything that divides, anything that causes disunity, destroys anything among his people. And many slander. Many bring false testimony, but the word tells us that the truth will vindicate. Even Jesus himself says wisdom is justified by her deeds, interestingly enough. It's God's wisdom in his righteousness that directs all truth, all good deeds that are appreciated, even by the city around us. You see, society still finds exploitation to be evil and wrong. And they also like good deeds. How many times in a month's time do you watch the news and they talk about some good Samaritan? Because they like to lift up good deeds. And they use biblical language to define it. I mean, how great is that? God's wisdom in his righteousness. Second thing Solomon wishes to focus on is God's righteousness is the product of God's wisdom. Verses 1 through 11. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lust. When the wicked dies, his hope will perish, and the expectations of wealth perishes too. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked walks into it instead. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. Remember, God's concern is to keep us, his children, his elect, focused on the right way, to keep us on course, to remain on mission. So we must remember the prophecies that speak of his righteousness. We must remember the products of that righteousness which we see before us. At the very beginning, we see two: honesty and justice are products of his righteousness for us and for us to exhibit as his children. Now, it's interesting. We find those products even among non-believers sometimes. And when good happens, even by non-believers, God is still glorified. But the expectation is that we will do such things that will rise above that, that would draw people to Christ, not to us, but to Christ. That's the expectation. But it requires the work of the Spirit in our sanctification and requires our work in our sanctification. Remember from Proverbs chapter 4, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. The Hebrew actually says, keep on keeping the heart. So it's a continuous, nonstop action. But it presupposes the work of regeneration. Our reception of Christ's righteousness sets our heart on the right trajectory to do right for God, to glorify Him. That regeneration is absolutely crucial before any of that happens. We can't keep and we can't manage our heart without the work of regeneration first. And then keeping it is a full-time job. The Spirit has determined that it would be His full-time job to keep moving us from glory to glory. But it's also our full-time job to keep our heart as well, which sees as its products what we just talked about, honesty and justice, so that everyone else sees it within us all the time. But not just that, but also humility. With the humble is wisdom. We all know the prideful person. We can hardly manage to stay around them for very long. But the humble person, we enjoy being around. We enjoy hearing what they have to say, because they're not talking about themselves. They're always seeking to find ways to deal with our needs. He's made us righteous in Christ, so we are, by His measure, upright. The product of righteousness, as I said, is the integrity. The integrity of the upright guides them. The Hebrew word can be defined this way: the uprightness of the upright, or the righteousness of the righteous guides them. See, the Holy Spirit empowers our righteousness so that we can be people of integrity, guided by the Spirit into all truth. The Spirit works hard with us to sanctify our hearts. It is by His power alone that we keep on keeping our hearts with all vigilance. The integrity of the upright guides them. It's not just talking about you and me individually. It's talking about God's people as a whole is to be defined by this integrity. God's people as a whole is defined that way so that then we pass it on to our children and to those around us. But perhaps the greatest product of righteousness is found in verse 4. Righteousness delivers from death. Righteousness delivers from death. Now, we all die physically in this life if Christ doesn't come back first. But the righteousness of Christ given to us guarantees us eternal life. That's the hope of tomorrow. But also in this life, a living righteousness gives us the security that we need to be assured of the faith that we have been given so that we can experience the peace and the joy and the hope that God has given to us in our faith. When one misses out on these, is that an indication that we're not keeping our heart the way the Bible says? Is that an indication maybe that we're not listening to the Word or His people? Is that an indication that we're not leaning into God's righteousness? I wonder about that sometimes when people say, I don't hear God. I don't feel God. I don't feel like being nice to you. I don't want to love the way God loves, says to love. Is it all because we're not keeping our heart? I often wonder. The great truth is justification is by grace alone through Christ alone. Does that truth even resonate with us daily? Or do we die a little each day because we don't listen and we don't act accordingly? Righteousness delivers from death. What a guarantee. What a truth. What a gift. A guarantee of life. Life. Most of us fear death. God guarantees us life. Is it any wonder then that righteousness keeps our way straight? If we believe that. But you got to love these terms that God calls us blameless. How many in here feel blameless today? He calls us upright. How many of us in here feel upright today? How many are sinless, in other words? How is it that God can call us by such names? The good news. Because Christ is in us through His Spirit. That's the good news. So when He sees us, He sees Christ through the eyes of the Spirit. And we know this is true. Paul told us, even he, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in Him, in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. While we have a hard time describing ourselves with those words, He does not. That's how much He loves His children. That's how much He loves us. So we see God's wisdom. His righteousness leads us into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. His righteousness delivers us for His name's sake. In fact, He says He uses the word deliver 4 times in this passage. Righteousness delivers us from death. Upright, the righteousness of the upright delivers them. The righteous is delivered from trouble. By knowledge, the righteous are delivered. Delivered. By telling us what we're delivered from, tells us what we're delivered to. Life. Life. God decrees the righteous will suffer as our sanctification works for the purpose of becoming more and more like Christ, preparing us for the next life. But we will be delivered from all of that, and we have been delivered from the curse of all of that. Knowing that Christ died for us, we are delivered from ever wondering about our worth in the face of God. Knowing that we are in Christ, we are delivered from wondering who we are and what our purpose is. Knowing God, we are delivered, for it is the knowledge of God that encourages the fear of the Lord within us to joyously continue to live as He directs. That's the good news of this gospel called the Proverbs. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Finish it. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You have to put that last phrase in there. Because without God's guidance, we are always fearful. His rod and his staff comforts us. Even when we die, seeking to stay on course, our death may just motivate and encourage the one behind us and the one beside us to fulfill the mission with fervor. For he is with us to deliver us. That's the ultimate product of God's wisdom. His righteousness, which is interconnected with his wisdom. They are distinct, but they are dependent upon one another. So God's children can easily stay on course to bring him glory and to edify each other. But there's one more product on how the city sees the righteous. As I said before, the culture takes great pleasure when an honest, kind, or integrous person is found, as if it's an abnormality, a rarity to find somebody that is honest. The stories that we read about people returning money that they found on the road, they make national news because it just doesn't happen. Or at least that's what we're led to believe. So the city rejoices when it sees that. This type of public expression by those around us was even said of Jesus. Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. And then, of course, that's one of the characteristics of an elder and a deacon in the church. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders. You see, the church is here to benefit the community. The church is here to hold the community accountable, but that's part of the benefit. Because the community has lost sight of the truth. We have the opportunity to share that with them, with gentleness, with respect, and with humility. And so the city rejoices. Providing them with someone that they can come to when they're wanting to know the reason for the hope that you exhibit. The city is blessed by the blessing that God has given to us. That's our role in Victoria, by the way. Our role in Victoria is to be a blessing. It always has been. And this word from Proverbs, which people don't spend a lot of time paying attention to, is clear and simple and practical. Now, it also reminds me, because I, like Solomon and my dad, and I get that I don't and haven't always lived up to these words. But that doesn't make these words of God any less important to pass on to our children and those around us. Because none of us live up to this word. There's not one of us in here that does. None of us. And we can't. Save for the righteousness of Christ. Even with that righteousness, we have a tendency to apply God's word in the way that best benefits us. But even with that sin, the power of God's word comes through. Always, never to return void. Never to return void. So our goal, the goal that God has given to each of us, is to glorify him with the righteousness and the wisdom that he alone can give and must, even in our imperfectness, deliver to those around us, which are all also products of God's wisdom. When people see and hear our gentleness, see and hear our respect, and see and hear our humility, because of his righteousness. His righteousness produces in us what he decrees, because his wisdom grants that to us, that we might bring him glory and that we might edify his people. Pray with me. Almighty God, once again we come to you recognizing that you are our Father and we are your children. And children need it said simply and practically, so that we might actually grow to the measure of using it accordingly to bring you glory and edify one another. For if we're not edifying one another, we are dividing one another. And so, Father, I just pray that that would be our goal, to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.